knowledge fight.
And Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight.
I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. I can sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk just a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot today, it might be the same as yours, and that is...
I bet it's not.
Okay. Well, in that case, thank you to the God Awful Movies podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Our episode came out with them on Tuesday, and it was a lot of fun to see the response that people had. I think we have a lot of crossover between audiences, and it was so fun hanging out and talking about a dumb Chuck Norris fighting demons movie.
It was a blast.
I was so terrified when we recorded that that none of it would make sense. Like, the plot doesn't make sense if you watch the movie,
right,
and then hearing the five of us try and
piece it together. Yeah, no.
I've never done a podcast where you just like break down the plot of a movie before.
Yeah.
And so for me, I was very self-conscious of like, there's no connective tissue here. This does not make sense. But everybody seemed to enjoy it, so thanks to them. And if you haven't checked that out, you should give it a whirl.
Yes, very much so. I gave it a little bit of a listen, and they told us many times, you know, like, hey, I'm just trying to move along. Don't worry about it if you keep talking. And we're both like, man, if you don't literally tell us to shut up.
You don't tell us to shut up. We're going to keep talking. We can't stop.
I was literally listening to that like, I missed at least a half hour of stuff that I wanted to put in there.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. There were more thoughts.
Yeah, we could have done so much longer.
Could have been like one of our Rogan episodes.
At a certain point, I was half expecting them to leave and just be like, hey, you guys finish it out.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Yeah.
So what about you? What's your bright spot?
My bright spot, Dan, I will guarantee it's not the same as yours because it is opening day baseball, baby!
Okay. Yeah, that is different.
Yeah. That's different.
I was going to say you could guarantee because you already know what mine is.
Yeah,
so that's
obviously
a stupid bet for me to take
fair
at
enough.
That point.
Well,
congratulations on the sticks.
Yeah, opening day baseball. Don't congratulate me. It's not like I'm getting my cup of coffee this year.
So you enjoy watching these guys get out there and play the game. America's pastime.
I do. I think the Ricketts family should have been burnt at the stake for many reasons, but what they're doing to the Cubs is now at least number three
on
the list.
Who's looking good this year? What teams are in? Who are you keeping your eye on other than the Cubs?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at Los Angeles, the LA Angels, because Shohei Ohtani is my favorite baseball player.
Sure.
By far. He can throw a 98 mile an hour fastball. He can hit 500 foot dingers, Dan. It doesn't get better than that.
How are the Expos looking?
The Expos are looking dead, non-existent. The Expos are looking like a blockbuster franchise right now. How do you feel?
Oh, I gotta call my bookie. I made some bad bets.
Well, you'll get there in 1999.
Who's that? Is Johnny Damon still around? He looking good this year?
What else you got?
I don't know.
I want more names from you.
Albert Pujols?
Actually, Albert Pujols is on the Angels, and he is still around.
All my buddies used to love Pujols because he was on the, St. Louis.
He was on the Cardinals,
And he had that weird stance. He would stand there real weird.
Still does.
Yep.
Still does. One of the best hitters in the history of the game.
Yeah, he's very good.
There's that.
He seems like a good guy, too, from everything I can tell, right?
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I don't know.
He seems like a nice dude.
Seems like, I don't know.
Nobody's ever been like gone out of their way to be like, hey, Jordan, have you heard how much of an asshole Albert Pujols is? So.
How's Roberto Clemente looking this year?
Not as good as you might hope. I've got bad news for you,
Dan. Oh, no. So, Jordan, today we got an interesting episode to go over. As I promised, we're back in the present day. So
indeed.
Today we're going to be talking about March 30th and 31st, 2021.
Blackjack.
So what do you think about them apples?
Oh no!
I was thinking about
No, it's not gonna work. That bit's not gonna. That's not gonna fly.
No, but I do love that drop. I have to use it for something.
No, it is good. I think you can tell me. You can use it whenever you have something shitty to say to me instead.
How do you like them apples?
Exactly.
All right, Blackjack. Anyway, okay. It's interesting couple of days, infuriating in many ways, kind of bizarre in another way. There's something that I think is really interesting that I think bears talking about, but it also, Alex's position on it almost doesn't matter.
Okay.
So this is my way of, as is tradition, underselling what we're about to talk about.
right.
In advance, this doesn't matter.
Nope.
But before we get down to business, let's do something that does matter, which is name some new wonks.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So first, I'm Dan, and it's 2020. One Blackjack. Thank you so much. You are now Policy Wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Next, knowledge fighting god-awful movies is my kink. Give me more, please, sirs. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, William K.W. III. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Billy K.
Thank you. Next, Spider Leadership. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Spider Leadership.
Thank you.
About time they started pulling their weight around here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Looking at you, mercantile dogs and archaeologist cats.
Yeah.
Next, I sold Dan weed, not guns. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Did I say that someone sold me guns?
Was there a possibility?
No one sold me guns.
No, was this like an old friend of yours in high school who were like, you had the opportunity and in the left hand I have a gun.
I don't.
And in the right hand I have some weed. You can only choose one.
I don't recall that. I know that I have bought weed from a lot of people over the course of my life. And I do know that there was one person that I knew. I don't think it's this person, because I have no, I don't know. But there was one person that I knew who shall go nameless, who did sell me weed for a while.
Uh-huh.
And then later I found out that he was also selling guns.
Oh, well,
but I didn't
nice.
Know that at the time.
Well, I think we know it now.
I don't think that that's this person.
Okay.
It would be bizarre if it was.
That would be bizarre.
But anyway, thank you so much. You're a policy wonk.
Are there any people who have been with the same weed dealer for like 30 years?
You know,
like some people who are like, I just only go to this one store for my, like, I'm a Kohl's person. Do you have like a, I'm a Kohl person?
I wouldn't be too surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think you have a bond that's formed.
Sure.
I think Kohl's gets arrested less. And that disrupts relationships sometimes.
Their loyalty program is a little bit better.
Yeah. So finally, I'd like to say thank you to somebody who is now a technocrat. Thank you so much, Neve C. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
Thanks so much, Neve.
Yes, thank you very so much.
Yeah. So, Jordan, today we have a fun out-of-context drop. Alex is violent towards animals.
Sure.
And this is right in that line.
Mm.
Sometimes you got to hit a mule upside the head with a 2x4.
Whoa.
That doesn't sound true.
Sometimes you have to. Sometimes you are left with no choice.
I would like more context on the situation where I have no choice but to hit it with a 2x4.
Well, if this wasn't an out of context drop, I could give you the entire context, because Alex spends about 10 fucking minutes on this show talking about how sometimes if there's like a cow that's being eaten by fire ants and it's pregnant and you got to get it to safety, you got to hit it with stuff in order to get it to move.
I was going to go with pure zombie situation,
no.
But I will accept that if there is a cow
you
being
eaten
by fire ants.
You need to get this cow away from the fire ants.
Yes.
You got to hit it with a board.
Sure.
And the liberals would tell you, no, don't hit it with a board.
I'm still going to go with maybe try getting rid of the fire ants first. Maybe try a hose.
He spends probably 2 segments talking about that.
That seems right.
It's outrageous.
That seems right. Does he have enough time to get to the big news?
No.
Oh, okay.
So here we start on the 30th, and I'm going to give you a spoiler in advance. I turned this episode off. It got very boring. But here's how it starts.
Wow. It is official mainstream news that the COVID lockdowns are designed to make us live in our houses and be prisoners to, quote, save the earth from carbon. You know, Dabo said it years ago. They had a plan a few months ago. They said how great the lockdowns are, have them permanently to save the earth, have robots deliver us all our food, making us obsolete, depopulating.
Sure.
But now the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Associated Press, without me even looking today.
Wait,
just
what?
Everywhere are saying
What?
We need to be prisoners and never leave our homes again. I mean, they are just going for full Stockholm syndrome.
I was like, oh, wow.
How could this not have turned out to be a banger of an episode, Dan?
I was like, wow, this is going to be something he's really going to need to substantiate.
Without even looking, I saw these things that didn't happen. How amazing is that, Dan?
I think that one of the things about our show that I enjoy that is that you'd hear something like that, and most people were like, no, it didn't.
Yeah.
I'll dig into things. But today I just felt like, no.
No, it no. didn't.
The media did not say, did not announce that they want you to be prisoners in your home. I'm fine. We've been over this territory so many times that this is just one I'm going to be like, no, absolutely not. Go fuck yourself.
Listen, I give you more than the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And you have broken me, sir.
I don't feel broken. I just don't care. I'm going to choose my battles.
Sure.
And this is one I'm just going to be like.
Wise.
Yeah.
That's no. wise.
Tell me what you're talking about, and then
yeah,
maybe
and then
we'll get into it, but probably not, because I know the only citation that he ends up giving in the first, like, 40 minutes of the show
sure.
is a fucking editorial that doesn't say what he says it says.
There's a problem
so
with that.
So I don't care.
Okay.
Anyway, this is where we get really misogynistic.
Sure.
You heard him bring up Stockholm Syndrome there.
I thought it was the moment he started speaking is when we get really misogynistic, but here we go.
Hoo Nelly!
They are just going for full Stockholm Syndrome takeover because they know at least 30% of the public, mainly women, will go under Stockholm Syndrome because it's so authoritarian, they can't believe it's actually happening. And they are going to submit to the tyranny. Nothing against women, but it's known in every psychological study and going
nothing
back to Rome
against
and
women.
Babylon that when an army would take over the city, most of the women within minutes would start fighting for the enemy as soon as it was clear that the enemy had taken over. And they would rat out their husbands, rat out their children, help execute them if they thought it was for the good of the community.
Interesting.
That's why when a country's conquered
if
or a place is
true.
Conquered, you don't kill the women. That's why who was the house slave in Rome? In Africa, who were the house slaves? Africans had as many slaves as anybody. You brought women in the house. You kept the men out in the fields. And that's the system.
Wow. That's something else, man.
I don't even know where that begins.
Yeah, it's a lot of thoughts, and a lot of them are dumb.
Okay. All right. So then, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so
Dan,
we
have historical records of so many cities that were conquered.
We have psychological studies from Rome.
Yes, we've got so many psychological studies, double-blind studies.
Whenever
Rome did a lot of double-blind studies.
Whenever invading armies will show up, women will immediately start fighting, within minutes, fighting for the... Women are traitors.
I'm confused as to whether or not he knows the severe number of underground... boy, I don't know, resistance movements that were started,
almost
helmed.
Like, almost like a locomotive, maybe, that went underground.
I think there's one big one that it's hard to put back.
So first thing to clear up, Stockholm Syndrome, as Alex understands it, isn't real. It's something that's depicted in dramatic movies a lot, but in terms of real-life instances of someone exhibiting the signs of Stockholm Syndrome, it's exceedingly rare to find a real case.
Yeah, what it really is that the cops are bad and reasonable people are like, oh yeah, you guys are bad.
And like, I mean, you can find some similarities to the behavior within domestically violent situations.
Sure,
some people will make those parallels, but that's not what we're talking about.
No.
That's not what the depiction of Stockholm Syndrome is.
Yeah.
Second, the image of history that Alex is presenting is also not real. In movies, perhaps, invading groups don't kill women when they killed all the men in a particular town, but that's not how things have gone generally.
No, they killed all the women.
Yeah.
It wasn't hard.
Not always, but sometimes, a lot of the time. And the exception generally is when these invading groups would take the women as property after conquering a particular group, and it wasn't because these women just decided it would be a good idea to join the other team.
Oh, shit, now it's time to be property! Guys, it's time! Woo!
Let's get enslaved!
Let's do it! Concubine me, baby!
Also, it may be the case that most depictions of persons enslaved inside households in the media are often women, but that's also historically not something that was universal. For instance, William Wells Brown and Lewis Clark are both examples of enslaved persons in the American South who were men whose duties were in the house, both of whom wrote books about their experience that Alex could learn from, if he'd like. Alex's understanding of history is based almost entirely on movies and vague feelings he's gotten about history from media.
Yeah.
Literally nothing he's saying is based on reality at all, but it feels like it if you just kind of assume fiction and reality are the same. And that's all that's going on here, man, and it is grim, his vision of what... Like,
yeah.
that's a painfully chauvinistic view of...
Yeah, you know, and it's not like, you know, movies aren't entertaining and stuff, but I think the fact that most movies have been written by white men over the years has probably ruined a bit of our good historical interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might have something to do with his ridiculous beliefs.
Could be, but
Aaron Sorkin's good.
Look,
yeah, never mind.
Alex has this deep historical knowledge, and I shouldn't be poo-pooing him so much because, like, I mean, he's got a stack of papers.
I have a stack of just unbelievable COVID-19 news, but just look at this stack, ladies and gentlemen. Look at this that dovetails with it. If you're a radio listener, you can just search into anything I'm saying. You'll pull it up. What the crew does. Look at this. AP, Dear Normal. Were you really that great in the first place? By a Sophie Rosenbaum. This reads like the darkest satire ever written.
So this is nonsense, and we'll get to this here in a second, but here is Alex sort of talking about the editorial a little bit.
Look at this. AP, Dear Normal, were you really that great in the first place? By a Sophie Rosenbaum. This reads like the darkest satire ever written, but it's real. And I'm going to take the time out, even though this is... four nightmare pages of evil, and I'm going to read the damn thing on air, bottom of the hour. And it says, we're going to lock you in your house, and you're going to love it.
Doesn't sound...
only going to leave when we say you can, and it's not about the COVID, it's about the earth.
Doesn't say any of those things.
That sounds right.
This is an article that's an editorial presenting an opinion held by this writer. Alex is getting mad at an editorial and pretending that it somehow is the globalists admitting that they don't want anything to go back to normal and it's all about climate. COVID's not even real.
Furthermore, it was not addressed to Alex.
No, it was addressed to normal. Yeah, he's
so
very
Alex
abnormal.
Alex has nothing to do with this.
If you read this editorial, it's not dark satire and it's not advocating that we stay in lockdown forever. It's this writer expressing that as the world goes back to what we're looking at as normal, we run the risk of not living as ambitiously as we can. A better world is possible, and the urge for things to go back to some idea of normal might get in the way of achieving things that, you know, are good. From the article, quote, without normal, the path forward is more open. The opportunity is perhaps broader. What if there's a whole lot of amazing that stands to be lost if normal returns? What if instead of banking on normalcy, we focused on that one-of-a-kind ability to adapt and evolve? Maybe that's the way forward, instead of simply reconciling with what was and trying to recreate something that's already had its day. It's an interesting position that this author brings up, and it's not a unique perspective in terms of things that I've read, certainly.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely not what Alex is lying about. But it is a good headline for him to riff off of.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, but it's just nonsense. And if he's read it, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
For him to be like worked up about it.
He has absolutely not read it.
Yeah.
Not a chance. Did he read it on air?
I don't know. Probably maybe after I turned it off. I told you I turned off this episode.
That's fair.
And part of the reason was that I turned off this episode was, like, that misogyny at the beginning was pretty wild.
That's astonishing.
Yeah. But...
because it's not a direct attack. You know, we're so used to misogyny being directed at women in the present. But to create a weird fictional, like, Adam and Eve story out of all women throughout history...
well,
when being conquered.
All psychological studies have shown that within minutes they start fighting for the enemy.
See, I feel like this is not true. This is just not true. What how would you even take that cycle? Is there a psychologist that's in there on the ground like, oh shit, somebody just got conquered. We got to get there fast. Otherwise, they're going to turn before we've studied it properly.
I don't know. But it was kind of interesting you seem weird today.
Yeah.
And I kind of got interested in like, oh, is this going to continue?
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't. And it just became this aggressively long, protracted, boring stretch of immigrant bashing.
Sure.
In such a way that really, really is like unacceptable.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'll play a little clip and then, we'll sort of discuss why I needed to turn this off.
Yeah.
And then we saw a Daily Call report saying, oh, there are hundreds of illegals with their children and others and unaccompanied children at the airport in South Texas. loading onto planes with no ID. Loading onto planes with bags of cash and envelopes of cash, controlled by the Democratic Party, being sent all over the United States to disappear into God knows what, in countervention of federal and state law, which Biden hadn't signed an executive order that could be overturned by courts. They haven't changed the federal law. This is all lawlessness.
So he goes on and just on and on, beating up and saying like just horrendous things about anybody who may be an immigrant. And, you know, the effect of this isn't something that is positive. It's not something that's even interesting. This is just an incitement.
Yeah.
Like when he's talking about these people who are alleged to be undocumented folks who are being given bags of money and then sent to disappear into the, that's only going to make the audience suspicious of everybody that they see that they might deem to be possibly an immigrant who might have a bag of cash and just disappeared into the middle of America.
If he
it's
said,
irresponsible as hell.
Yeah, if he said Jew, we'd just be like, oh, okay, cool, you're a Nazi, now stop speaking forever.
It's
because that's what he's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He's Nazi-ing.
It's not something that can really be interestingly discussed outside of rebuke.
Yeah.
It's not something that I have much to bring to the table other than fuck this. This is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. We've talked a ton about like specific narratives and things that he deploys against, you know, immigrant populations and what have you. But this was just like, it just should be turned off.
Yeah,
I don't know how else to say it.
So we should have a drop that's just a big like stamp sound, and then it says Protocols of the Elders of Zion, and then we just move on. Like, yep, boom.
And so there was one more thing that I heard, and this is like I was in that place, and I think I still needed something else to kick me over the like turn this off.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I turned it off.
And then the FBI announced 2 days ago they're waiving all background checks for the people at the facilities and the foster homes where they're sent. So they're coming in, no ID, not with their parents in many cases, as young as 2 years old. They're being put on buses and airplanes and flown to be picked up by random people and never to be seen again. But then separately you'll hear, National Amber Alert, 12-year-old girl grabbed out of her backyard. Massive manhunt shuts down two counties as they search the grid for the kidnapper. But then you've got massive death, massive numbers of dead women and children found by the thousands on the border. Look it up. And it's just, oh, that's not going to be a news item. That's not going to be a story. So here's the headline right here, out of town hall, FBI waives background check requirements for those housing unaccompanied minors.
So Alex is talking about people at emergency intake centers.
Yeah.
The FBI waived part of the background check that needs to be done for people working at those centers. He's lying about this story, but what he brings up is still an actual issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where also I feel really like I hate him.
Yeah.
Because this is a real issue.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to agree with him, but I'm also not going to disagree fully, but he is still lying.
Right.
So it's true that the FBI has waived fingerprint-based background checks for people who are being employed to work at emergency intake sites run by the Department of Health and Human Services. That is not a good thing, and I don't support that, but it is not what Alex is suggesting. This doesn't apply to people who are taking people into foster care. It's just for people who work at those sites who are, quote, supervised by federal employees or others who have passed fingerprint-based background checks. Again, not what I would say is a great idea, but it's not what Alex is saying. Also, Alex is claiming that they've waived all background checks for these individuals, which is not true. They still have to pass public records background checks, but they're not using fingerprinting. The reason to do this is to expedite the process, which makes some sense, but again, I would probably prefer that they err on the side of caution.
Sure.
I was really curious about this story, so I dug around a little more, and I found this story in the Associated Press. Quote, U.S. waived FBI checks on staff at growing teen migrant camp. That story was from November 2018 under Trump. Beyond the background checks waiver, Trump also reduced the access to mental health professionals for people at the camp, which was a mess. Even worse, in December 2018, the AP reported on news from an emergency detention center in Florida called Homestead where, quote, the staff isn't being screened for child abuse and neglect at the Miami-based emergency detention center. Alex wasn't mad about any of these things because Trump's administration was doing it, and there's no ability to score points off it. He doesn't care about the well-being of immigrants, and when it's a Democrat president in charge, He just uses the mismanagement of immigration as a prop to attack his enemies.
Yeah.
When his hero Trump is the one mistreating these people, Alex isn't okay with it. He supports it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to bring these cases or these instances up of Trump and his administration doing this as a what about thing.
Sure, I absolutely
don't want to do that, and I'm not trying to score points on Alex.
Well, there's no point in, I mean, not,
I'm
you
discussing
know.
My frustration with, like, this is a problem, and it's still a problem.
Right.
It's not something that is okay now because Biden is in charge. We need better solutions
to
these things.
It's still monstrous.
Yes, and the FBI background check thing, the aspect of it, I understand the explanation that's being given.
Sure.
I'm not sure that explanation is acceptable.
Right.
I don't know, but I would be, I would have that exact same response in Trump's instance and now.
Yeah.
And it's just offensive to see Alex spend half an hour demonizing immigrants in such a way that it stands to potentially put people in danger, and then to use them and mismanagement of immigration intake centers like this as a prop for him to use to attack Democrats.
No, I absolutely don't care what face or what party affiliation you have. Yeah. If I am anywhere near those people, I was screaming their faces.
Bark.
This is the best you fucking have.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
And so, you know, I just got kind of fed up and I turned it off. Yeah. So now we'll jump to the 31st. Because I thought, like, there's probably more interesting stuff to talk about. We've heard him talk about this kind of thing a lot.
Sure.
It's very kind of worn out territory for Alex.
Totally.
So there is some news. And thankfully, Alex has got some big bombshells on the 31st.
All right.
Working on the weekend like usual. Down in the deep end like usual. Wow, we're in the center of the zeitgeist. I barely just slid into my chair here because we've got so many big breaking news stories that we're working on right now that are so exclusive and so important.
Big bombshells.
Okay. Big, so exclusive.
Big old bombshells.
So exclusive. So I assume, and when he says so exclusive,
uh-huh,
I put this story at between 1 and 6 years old.
No, it's current.
Okay.
I can tell you I've talked to the highest levels of the media food chain about the Congressman Matt Gaetz situation. I've also talked to his good personal longtime friend and confidant, Roger Stone. I have made a lot of phone calls and ascertained exactly what's going on with the whole Matt Gaetz extortion deep state takeover. Roger Stone joins us coming up in the second hour today. And he's still getting all the details together right now, but it definitely Matt Gaetz is telling the truth.
This is weird.
Yeah, Roger Stone's coming on to talk about a sex trafficking incident he's definitely never engaged in his life before.
So it broke this weekend that the Justice Department began investigating Representative Matt Gaetz about the possibility that he had engaged in a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old girl and possibly had paid her to travel or paid to travel with her, which would possibly constitute sex trafficking.
Yeah.
Gaetz claims that this is part of an elaborate plan to extort him. And as far as I'm concerned, I hate Matt Gaetz and I think he's a real piece of political shit. But I need to see more about this investigation before I can come to any conclusions on the matter. The claimed actions are too severe, and I don't want to do a disservice to the alleged crime by using an accusation to score points against a politician I don't like.
Totally.
According to the New York Times, this investigation began under the Trump administration, so it's going to be hard to allege this is a plot from the left.
It's deep state.
It's said that this has to do with a Florida politician who had been an ally of Gaetz's named Joel Greenberg, who is the former tax collector of Seminole County. This guy is currently facing charges, quote, including sex trafficking of a child and financially supporting people in exchange for sex, at least one of whom was an underage girl. We will see what happens with this as more information comes out, but even if he's telling the truth and this is all part of an extortion plot against him, Matt Gaetz is still a pile of garbage. Also, like, if it is an elaborate plan, I really hope that whoever is doing this extortion against him is arrested.
Yeah.
The thing that I don't want is neither of these things to get prosecuted.
I am fine with whatever crime is handled here. The crime is the problem.
Something's up. And
And I don't need an extra layer of crime to hate the shit out of Matt Gaetz.
Right.
If he's guilty of a crime, then I hope he's prosecuted and taken care of. But I'm going to hate him either way, Dan.
Yep, and we'll see. Also, Roger might not be the best source of information for Alex on this one, since he's been photographed at Mar-a-Lago with Gates and Joel Greenberg.
Come on, what's a little sex trafficking between friends?
And according to the Times, websites run by Roger's associates had published articles favorable about Greenberg's candidacy for tax collector.
Shocking.
This is a mess.
Shocking.
It's a tangled web. But we'll see. Anyway, there's other news. We lost Rush Limbaugh not too long ago.
Hooray! And oh, no.
We had another tragedy befall the right wing.
Oh, no.
I've got so much to cover. G. Gordon Liddy died. A great guy. Great patriot. Great talk show host. Great American.
Really?
Boy, if the FBI was like him today, we wouldn't be in this problem that we're in with these communists and globalists. We've got that.
Yikes. Doesn't eulogize him much. Kind of just mentions G. Gordon Liddy's dead. Wishes the FBI was more like him.
Ooh, big pass. Although I think maybe our problem is the FBI is a lot like him.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Alex has one of his big narratives on this episode is that a lot of the prosecutions against people who broke into the Capitol and stormed everywhere and what have you, a lot of them are falling apart.
Oh, that was years ago, though. The right wing has moved on from that. We're talking about culture war stuff, Dan. We don't need to worry about that because that happened years ago.
Well, we got to turn around and mop it up a little bit.
Okay.
And now the prosecutions are falling apart. And there's a Politico article that Alex can't seem to find that goes over this.
I mean, we are witnessing incredibly historic times. You know, in fact, guys, there's an InfoWars article about the case falling apart and feds shocked that they're going to have to drop all the cases. But I actually want the Politico article that's linked in that. I forgot to tell you about that. So give me that Politico article that they're going to have to not get jail times. These people on the left's totally panicking because I can't find that now in my stack and I just had it.
People aren't panicking. This Politico article does talk about how it might be a bad look for, you know, Biden's administration to end up having to not prosecute or give plea deals to a lot of the people who weren't the inciters. They weren't the people who were, you know, actually planning violence.
So
and
weird.
I understand that. And I think that, you know, in terms of reality, that kind of makes sense. And as somebody who isn't in favor of over incarceration, I do understand that, and I kind of don't think it would be in society's greater interest to lock up everybody who went into the Capitol. In the same way that I think that you know, drug offenders should be released from prison.
Right.
I think that there should be less people in prison.
Yeah, I mean, functionally, it's like when you're going after the fucking mafia, like. Cool, you arrested a bunch of fucking low-level meatheads who are going around looking for protection money. It doesn't matter. It doesn't do anything. We're not doing anything to the people who fucking orchestrated it and incited it. Well, so I kind of don't give a shit about these people at all.
Well, the people who, you know, might have just been along and went in, I can completely understand the idea of like getting probation or time served or something if you've been held without bail.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I understand that, and I think that maybe it would be unsatisfying to some like folks who are trying to maybe run for office on retribution.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean that people who are like the people who planned the stuff, like
Oath
Keepers and
totally.
They're not going to get life sentences.
No, you planned it.
Yeah.
That's the part that's the
people who are coordinating and like Stuart Rhodes's friends.
Yeah.
They're still in deep shit.
That's what I'm saying. I just don't care about because all too many of those people are really borderline just infected with this terrifying brain virus that has destroyed them through right wing propaganda since they were fucking 6 years old.
Right.
You know?
And Alex is trying to pretend that this is everybody, even all the Oath Keepers and stuff who had like communications and plans and
no, Alex's buddies are going down.
He's trying to pretend that like this Politico article is about everybody.
Sure.
And it's not. It's mostly about people who are just like, what are you going to do? They just walked in.
Yeah.
Yes, it's trespassing.
Yeah.
But what are you going to give them 6 months in prison for that?
Is that right? Yeah.
That and I think that that's a sensible conversation to have.
Sure.
In terms of like what gives us the best outcome possible as a society. And
well, I mean, as a society, does giving somebody who, you know, passively stormed the Capitol 6 months do anything for the problem?
Probably not.
Nothing.
It could make things worse.
Yeah. It doesn't, like, act as a deterrent.
No. And now I wish that we would treat all offenders with the same kind of grace.
I think that's kind of the bigger issue.
Yeah, that is.
The problem is not the treatment. No. It's the unequal treatment beyond all recognition.
Hear, yeah. Hear.
Yeah, yeah.
So apparently one of Elon Musk's rockets blew up. But hey, man.
Still don't care about Elon Musk.
Don't call.
Even a little bit.
You can't call him a loser because he's trying.
He is a loser, though.
And this is interesting. Alex seems to be taking comments about Elon Musk a little personally.
Another SpaceX spaceship prototype explodes during high-altitude flight test, and the media is calling him a loser, as usual. No, the losers are the people that point their fingers at people that are doers and say that we're the losers. No, you are the losers.
So Alex is lumping himself in with Elon Musk and saying the people who criticize the doers like me and Elon Musk,
sure,
they're the losers.
No, what I want to do is put myself in the same sentence as somebody whose wealth is based entirely upon apartheid, Dan. That's what I want to do. People talk about how me and Elon Musk are losers just because we exploited a population to make untold amounts of wealth, and then the moment it looked like it was going to go bad for us, we ran away to the United States, faced no punishment for our crimes whatsoever, and then got even more wealthy based off of stock manipulation for no fucking reason.
I mean, to be fair, like Alex used to hang out with Bob Chapman, who made all his money on, like, apartheid
gold. That's what I'm saying. You got to defend people who run apartheid scams.
Lived in Rhodesia.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, boy.
Yeah. So we get to defending Matt Gaetz now. And it's interesting because the only way that Alex can ever do these things is, like,
revealing he himself committed a crime.
No, just pointing to other people that he's built up as villains.
Totally.
Okay, let me break this down for you. If Congressman Matt Gaetz, son of a big, successful billionaire, wasn't well-spoken, wasn't pro-Constitution, didn't have courage, wasn't a fighter, I would not give a damn about him. He'd be like an old shoe. I'd throw it away. And if any evidence of him screwing kids came out, I would absolutely come out against him and say he should be put in prison. But he's
Will
not
you?
Joe Scarborough, found with a dead girl in his office with her brains bashed out, who then's a good globalist and gets a show on MSNBC with the daughter of a famous war criminal, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Mika.
Yeah, so it's just like, he's not Joe Scarborough. Let's lie about his past.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because I don't know what that has to do with...
Oh, it
situation.
Doesn't have anything to do with the situation.
No. It seems like that's the strategy, is just distract.
Yeah.
Red sheet over here. The bull that is the audience's attention, charge over there.
Despite the fact that of his descriptions of people who would drink adrenochrome, the only difference so far in description between Gaetz and everybody else is just an R next to his name.
Yeah,
he's the son of a billionaire. He's in the government.
But it's also like he's a weird Republican.
Exactly.
It's not just that he's a Republican.
Yeah.
He is weird.
Yeah.
He's an asshole.
Yep.
So Alex lies a little bit about the allegations. It's one thing for Alex to take insults against Elon Musk personally.
Sure.
That's one thing.
Right.
Alex seems to be taking this a little personally.
That sounds right, too.
Trying to claim there were women saying they were 25 years ago who were really 17 at a party that he was at is not enough for me to turn against Gaetz, especially when the Democratic Party's doing this, and especially I'll reveal for the first time here, I went to the FBI a few years ago when somebody tried to extort me who I hadn't had sex with. And I talked to the experts. I said, you got to go report it. I went and said, hey, I'm being extorted. Here's the text messages. They had five agents in the room. I mean, let me tell you, you tried to extort my ass? I know the FBI's corrupt. Point is, I go right to them, so it's on record that you tried to set me up. You tried to, let me tell you, the media will give people money to say anything. They paid people $20,000 to say, I walked around the office and grabbed a goldfish out of a fish tank at the office and ate it.
This is a reference to Josh Owen's article from 2019 in the New York Times. In the article, Josh doesn't allege that Alex ate a goldfish. That's the fake version of the claim that Alex uses as a straw man to not talk about the actual complaint. From the article, quote, once a coworker stopped by the office with a pet fish he was taking home to his niece. It swam in circles in a small transparent bag. When Alex saw the bag balanced upright on a desk in the conference room, he emptied it into a garbage can. I don't know if Josh's claim is accurate or not, but it's very clear that Alex is making this claim that Josh was paid $20,000 by the New York Times to say this about Alex. The reason Alex is using the specific of, quote, eating a goldfish is so he's less likely to get in trouble if Josh were to demand Alex prove that the Times paid him to say what he did. Alex could then pretend he was talking about a different claim made about him, but it's very clear that this narrative is the one that he's built in response to Josh's article. If I were Josh Owens, I would probably threaten to sue Alex for this.
Yeah, that'd be worthwhile.
Yeah, I don't know if Josh Owens is a public figure. Mm. I don't know what Alex has no ability to demonstrate that Josh got paid to lie about him,
yeah,
or to say anything about him. This seems like slander, quite frankly. And I think it's clearly malicious in intent.
Totally. Absolutely.
This person said something I don't like. And so I will say that they were paid to say it.
Alex saying, hey, how are you, sounds malicious in intent. Mm. Yeah. There's no middle ground.
So apparently Alex got extorted.
Sure. 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 Sure.
Sure.
Sure.
Sure.
Sure. Sure. He's defending Matt Gaetz a little bit, like he's about to say, what's next? Are we going to investigate everybody who's did exactly what? But not that I didn't do.
It's interesting the way that Alex decides to do this defense, too, because his defense seems to be like, hey, man, Gaetz likes to party.
That's what I was thinking it would be.
But I've made some calls, and what you're hearing about Gaetz is pure bull. He doesn't even know. If from wild parties he was at over the years, if he doesn't even know who this woman is. And I had the same damn thing.
You get invited to some
condo, there's 30 people at it, you don't even kiss anybody. And then you got somebody saying, you give me $100,000 or I'm going to say what you did to me. And I'm like, hey, FBI's on speed dial. Hey, I'm coming in right now. But I'm telling you, man, this is what happens when you're successful and you're famous, and it's crap. You try to extort me, I'm going to try to get the FBI arrest your ass, because it's not true, ladies and gentlemen.
You're supposed to be talking about Matt Gaetz. Why do you keep talking about yourself?
Yeah, you keep talking about you awful lot. Awful lot. Also, do not sell me on you being a tough guy ever again.
Boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop.
I'm going to call the FBI. I've got them on speed dial. Also, I'm a revolutionary who's fighting against the American government.
Well, I think it's an interesting approach to be like, Matt Gaetz goes to wild parties and he doesn't remember.
Who's going to remember who you fucked? Come on. You go to the party, you fuck. It's not a names thing, Dan.
It's really strange. I think that on the one hand, it's a strange defense of something that I don't know if anybody can know what the reality is about the investigation at this point.
Listen, at these parties you go and then Matt Gaetz puts on his Eyes Wide Shut mask and then you don't know who's there.
It's weird, but I think the reason that I'm most interested in it is it just keeps coming back to Alex. Like, he keeps bringing himself back up as, like, there's a proxy that he feels.
As almost if, as if there's some sort of lingering guilt somewhere.
I don't know about that, but it's just weird. It's just weird.
It is anyway, a little weird.
Alex wants to give Gaetz some advice.
There is so much more that we're going to be discussing when we get into Matt Gaetz. And we're going to use this to make it about the Clintons and to make this about Bill Gaetz. And the minute Matt Gaetz talks about Bill Gaetz and the minute he talks about Epstein, they're going to drop this like a hot hand grenade.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I do think later on Alex lays out like what he's saying and is like, you know what, Gaetz needs to be like, talk about Bill Gaetz, but you got the wrong Gaetz.
Ah, you get it.
How fun.
Ah, who's the new Gaetz Gate?
Yeah. And so Alex also even lays out that he's like, Bill Gaetz runs the media. He controls
sure,
all this.
Sure.
If Matt Gaetz starts talking about Bill Gaetz, he'll call off the dogs.
Oh boy. Like,
what?
I am really excited to see just how fast and how brutal the right-wing machine will destroy Gaetz the moment he threatens the grift. Like, whenever he was talking to Tucker on that interview, and he's like, you know, Tucker, how you've done this too. It's like, oh man, you're going to be destroyed. If you think that you're going to get loyalty, Gaetz, you are making the same mistake a lot of you idiots make.
Yeah, you're going to end up burning, like, the bridge with Tucker, and you'll be left hanging out with Roger and Alex.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's going to be brutal and it's going to be fast.
Yeah. It's kind of convenient. I think I read a headline the other day that he, like before all this came out, that he was planning on possibly retiring from Congress.
Yeah. He's going to make a move. You know, nothing interesting is going to happen in between that article and when he moves to Newsmax. I'm sure of it.
OAN, probably.
Okay.
So in this next clip, we get Alex bestowing the mantle of the future of the GOP on somebody. And you'd be hard-pressed and surprised to find out that it is not Matt Gaetz.
Oh, okay.
After all of this.
Oh, surprising.
No, we have a new leader.
Okay.
So here he is. Marjorie Taylor Greene, the future of the Republican Party, voted in 75% of the vote on vaccine passports, talking about Hillary's religion and Biden's religion being the mark of the beast.
I kind of do agree with Alex, though, that she is the future of the GOP.
Yeah, she is absolutely going to be one of their elder statesmen, screeching into the atmosphere upon her Babel Tower as the rest of the world burns around her.
Alex takes this to be like a good thing, whereas I would say it's a cautionary statement to say that she's the future of the GOP.
I would argue that's probably a correct assessment of the biggest problem any people have ever had.
So we get to talking a little bit more about Ms. Green, and here's what Alex has to say.
They have a perfect example of why they hate Marjorie Taylor Greene.
She's dumb.
Because she's a listener of this show.
She's mean.
And so are others, and they're educated about how the world works, and they can see it for themselves, and they see the corporate communism, how they've created monopolies for themselves, and now the big corporations want tyranny for all the rest of us, and they're using classical forms of tyranny with technocracy to dominate us. Now, the Republicans are told, oh, be afraid of her, stay away from her, because if they adopt what she's saying when she won by 75 percentage points, the highest record in years for a Republican to be elected to Congress, the past record was like 69%. She topped that by 6 points. What was she saying? There's a new world order, a Chi-Com takeover, corporate communism. They're coming for your guns. They're destroying the border. They're the enemy. Let's do something. Let's stand up. That's what you do when you're under attack.
I definitely think Alex could be right that Marjorie Taylor Greene listens to InfoWars. Of the times he said that about elected officials, this is the first time I'm not going to argue with
him. Yeah, no, that sounds right.
That said, Alex is completely making up everything he just said about her election win. First, let's remember that she was running essentially unopposed, since her opponent had withdrawn from the race prior to the election. Alex is claiming that she won by a record margin because he wants to create the impression that she was just saying InfoWars stuff. And that stuff is so popular that it wins elections by record amounts. So everyone should adopt the most popular stuff, which is InfoWars stuff. This is something that he is pulling out of thin air. Green won her race 74.7% to 25.3%. She didn't win by 75 percentage points, as Alex is claiming. He just doesn't know the actual details or doesn't care to be accurate. That's fine, though, since I think you could be generous and assume he just meant that she won with 75% of the vote.
Yeah, I would say that's probably what
he's close enough, and I don't expect him to actually know what he's talking about or be accurate.
Yeah.
What's more egregious is him trying to say that the previous record for a Republican running for Congress had just been 69%. Margin or the vote, who knows?
Yeah.
Either it's completely insane. Just in the 2020 election for the U.S. House, in Florida's 2nd District, Neil Dunn won a seat against independent Kim O'Connor by a 97.9 to 2.1% difference. That's a margin of 95.8%, far higher than Marjorie Taylor Greene's margin.
That's like if he ran against a half-finished game of Hangman.
Mm-hmm. Green's official margin of victory was 49.4%, which is the 18th highest margin of victory among Republican House election winners.
Hey, that's not bad. Hang your head high.
No,
you know,
sure.
Nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
Left it all out on the field.
Alex desperately craves being seen as smart and having a ton of information at his disposal, but in order to create that perception, he generally just makes shit up, knowing that no one listening will even care. They'll probably just believe him. It's because he's a con man.
Yeah. That would be why.
Also, just because it's fun, in the 2018 election, Republican Tom Graves won the same district seat that Green did with 76.5% of the vote, which is more than she got.
Yeah.
His opponent received 23.5% of the vote, so that means his total vote and his margin of victory were both higher than Marjorie Taylor Greene's were. She's actually less popular than the previous Republican who won that House seat.
That is the future of the Republican Party.
Yeah. And it's what you get when you use InfoWars stuff.
That would happen. Yeah.
Yep.
we should kill half of the constituents is usually less popular than you might expect.
Half of the constituents are going to have a problem with that.
Yeah, the other half usually.
So we get back to defending Matt Gaetz, and it just does seem to be like, dude, parties, man. Come on.
Roger Stone is going to have the inside scoop. I've got, from my angles, my sources that talk to Gaetz. Gaetz has been on the show, but I haven't talked to him in years. And we got a pretty good picture of what happened and what's unfolding. This is deep state globalist extortion. Is he a playboy? Was he at some parties with wild girls years ago? Maybe he truthfully does not remember or does not know. But this is extortion. This is a dirty trick.
Okay. This is not strong defense.
I would say that's a road to conviction. That's your defense, hey, I got drunk and partied. I don't remember
parties were
shit.
Wild.
Yeah,
parties
were wild.
I would say that I went into this episode like the sort of the way that I explained it. Like, I don't know enough about this case. Mm-hmm. I read the Times article. I read what the people who are, you know, the sources who are familiar with the investigation, were saying, and we'll wait and see what comes out of this.
Sure.
You know, I don't know. I can't.
Yeah.
The more I listen to this episode, the more I'm like, what are you doing? This is a terrible defense. If this is your damage control, like, spin that you're doing, I gotta think he killed people at those parties. Like, that's...
Yeah. I don't. I feel like he's trying to soften the blow of something worse.
That's how it feels.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just because it's how Alex, like, operates. Or what?
Look, have you ever seen the movie Bachelor Party? He went to one donkey show.
So
not that big a deal.
And that, like, this is like, don't let Alex anywhere near the court. If this happens, don't.
Your Honor, it doesn't matter if he doesn't remember.
Your Honor, I would like to say.
Well, I made some calls. Well, I actually got some calls, and I made some calls to people that know Gaetz well, some big people, and they said no. Gaetz is a playboy. Gaetz doesn't like underage women. Gaetz has never hid this, that he's single and young. And he doesn't even know if any of this is true. Didn't fly with some underage woman. That's made up. This is a shakedown. But the question is, do they have some woman who can claim that, well, she was younger, now she's, you know, 20 something, that she went out with him 3 years ago? But definitely he went to the FBI. Definitely it's a shakedown.
So you're saying that he might have dated a 17-year-old a few years ago.
That is kind of what he's saying, isn't it? Isn't that specifically what he's saying? Can you call a character witness for the prosecution and tell him to defend the...
This is a mess, man.
Hey, Alex, we want you to really defend the shit out of Matt Gaetz. Uh-huh. That's how confident we are that you're right, Alex. We're going to put you as the prosecution.
Yeah.
That's how we're tying one hand behind our back, Alex.
Yeah. Hey, look, fucking dated a 17-year-old 3 years ago. She's 20
on.
Now. What's
come
the big
on.
Deal?
That's what? The same thing as being 20 back then. It's math.
He doesn't remember. What?
What in the God's name is
holy
that?
Holy shit. Let's see if Roger can do better.
What is the inside poo-poo?
Back. I mean, if you had to name the single most effective member of the House in terms of fighting for the America First agenda, it would have to be Matt Gaetz. It's not incidental that right here on this show, only weeks ago, I mentioned him very realistically as a presidential contender. So this is a search and destroy mission. I know Matt Gaetz to be a person of extraordinary integrity. He was a playboy.
Coming
he
from you, that means a lot,
to
Roger.
A wonderful woman, Ginger, who I've met several times. They're very much in love. This is not the Matt Gaetz that I know. This is a cheap political trick. This is an effort to derail his career. Folks don't know this, but Matt Gaetz's family is among the wealthiest families in Florida. Therefore, the motive of extortion, of blackmail, is a very realistic one.
I'm getting so suspicious the more this goes
on.
So
suspicious.
Why are they doing this?
They don't have to.
They don't. Their audience does not demand it. Alex could have legitimately just said this is all bullshit.
Hey.
Matt Gaetz, he's come out on Tucker and he said that he's being set up.
See?
Let's move forward.
Done.
Now let's get to the big news of the day. Why are they doing this?
I'm not going to give this story the time that they want me to. That's how integrity I've been based.
He spends over an hour on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. That, man, the only thing worse than having Alex defend me in court would be having Roger defend me in court.
I mean,
there's nothing wrong with it. I'm Roger Stone. I've done it all.
These two unsavory fucks, like, being like, yeah, he's great, makes me think this person is not great. That, and,
totally.
And I understand that maybe that's a bias of mine.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody who's beloved by villains is a villain themselves.
Sure. Sure. I mean, if I was going to put money on it, I mean, I would say that the FBI should get some text records. And I would imagine the moment that New York Times story came out, Roger Stone got a text saying, I did it. What do I do? That would be the most likely situation for me.
So the narrative now becomes, with Roger on board, that they're trying to get rid of Gates because he's the heir apparent to Trump.
Sure.
In the 2024 election, basically.
The guy has enormous cojones. He's got huge courage. You know, usually when you're young and you first get to Congress, they tell you
he has incredible charisma. He's super smart. Definitely, they sense the alpha male. They're scared.
Yeah, because he has many of the same traits as Trump. He's audacious. He's bold. He's a brawler. They don't want to take another beating like they took in 2016.
So this is kind of what they're doing. I think they see their neck. I think the sense that I get, like, it's still weird. The motive,
they're trying to Brett Kavanaugh this.
Yeah, perhaps. But I think it's even more than that.
Yeah.
I think that they feel an absence of their sort of idol, basically.
Sure.
There isn't a figurehead for them to coalesce around. And I think that they're feeling the pressure of that. There's a crunch, sure, that Trump is absent in terms of being there. You know, they can still, like, say, hey, we're Trump supporters. He's still the real president.
Right.
But they still need somebody to be the face.
Yeah, it's the fall of Stalin. They're all jockeying for position.
And I think that the sense that I get from the conversation they're having, because they keep making reference to, like, off-air conversations that they've had, and the sense that I get is that Alex really thinks that Matt Gaetz should be the next person that gets the mantle of the weirdo conservative version God King.
Wow.
And so I guess he's interpreting this as a preemptive attack on the part of the globalists. And you know what? I don't believe any of that's real, and I don't believe that's true.
Sure.
But if Alex does believe that's true, then it kind of does make sense why he would spend an hour on this story.
Yeah.
But still, his defense is terrible.
No, it's not good. It's not good. I mean, ultimately, his defense is like, why can't white men do whatever they want?
Why can't Gates party?
Yeah. Whoa. What are you going to judge him? He's white and he's a man. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
You just let him do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Also, he's rich. What are you going to punish him for?
What if, like, I don't know, Beto? What if it came out that Beto had dated a 17-year-old? How do you, or there are allegations of that? Yeah. How do you think Alex would respond to that?
I mean, he'd go apeshit.
Yeah.
And that's the point of not giving a shit about whataboutism. We're not going to beat them at whatabouting.
No.
It's like their bread and butter.
No, it's just kind of something that can be a little bit funny to imagine how much you would freak out.
Totally. Yeah.
But hey, look, the reality is, based on the claims that are being made, Gates says that there are tapes that prove his innocence that the FBI has.
Okay.
And if that's the case, then those should be able to come out and, you know, resolve this whole thing.
Fine. I still hate you for all the other shit you
do. Yeah. Yeah. And Roger demands the tapes.
Most importantly, let's hear the tapes. We need to hear the tapes.
That's right. The key is he went to the FBI. They had a sting op. They were about to bust him yesterday. Somebody in the FBI leaked that info to the New York Times for damage control. Gates was about to have a devastating victory.
I think that's exactly right.
By retiring from Congress?
So the idea that they're presenting now is basically that there was this guy who, by the way, Matt Gaetz said by name, accused by name on Tucker Carlson's show.
Yeah.
This guy, who is a former Justice Department official,
sure,
is trying to extort Gates and his family for money.
Sure.
There's the allegation that they'll come out with if he doesn't pay up or whatever.
Of course.
And so his dad had been wearing a wire in order to entrap this person.
As you do.
And because they were just about to nail this this extortionist,
sure,
the New York Times got leaked this information about the allegations that were the threat
right.
to Matt Gaetz's extortion. And to be honest, I don't know if I believe all that. It seems like a defense that's being made, and you know, if that's the case, it should be very easy to clear this up.
Oh yeah, not hard at all.
It should be incredibly easy. And yeah. then that person who used to work at the Justice Department should go to prison.
Yeah. It's not hard.
No.
It's like these people don't understand that that law, if it's to function at all, is to be applied equally. Otherwise, it is not law.
That is a struggle.
Yeah.
So the New York Times reporter who covered this story,
mm-hmm.
they reached out to Roger. Sent Roger an email. And I think part of that is because Roger was hanging
out with...
Hey,
Roger, did he do it?
Hey, level with me.
Hey, buddy. Yeah. Look, this is off the record. Mm. Just tell me if he did it or not.
Hey, Raj, we have a picture of you and him and Greenberg at Mar-a-Lago.
And
how say you?
Follow-up question. Did you do it?
So Roger got an email, and he's got a response for the guy, and this gets Alex really excited.
I actually got an email from Michael Schmidt, the reporter at the New York Times that wrote this story today. I'm going to be releasing my response. Because it is quite extraordinary. They don't hold the New York Times to the same standards they hold everybody else to. It is a maze of linked to, associated with, is known to have spent time with. That's guilt by association.
Well, hold on. I want the exclusive. Can you pull up the email? I want to hear your response to the New York Times.
Yeah, you'll get a chance to take a look at it. I've got to touch it up a little bit because the more I read it, the angrier I get.
And then Alex is like, yeah, when you get a chance to touch that up, could you go in the war room and talk about it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Roger's response is, yeah, if I'm awake. Dude, you're in Florida.
Does not give a shit anymore.
I go to bed at 4.
Yeah, I eat dinner at 3 and I'm in bed at 4.
It's a good life.
It's not a bad life.
Yeah, so Alex really is thirsty for that that exclusive.
How many pictures with alleged or convicted sex traffickers can you be in before people start?
Look, dude, at a certain point, you got to let that go because they congregate at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if you go there, there's probably a picture of you with
a
perv.
Now, that's probably another thing we should put a red flag up about.
Right. But I mean, like, it's not... You know, you go to Mos Eisley Cantina, you're going to get a picture taken
of
you and a smuggler.
Sure, it's going to be a hum of sky of villainy. Yeah. Yes, I get that.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that you're a smuggler just because they took a picture of you with...
Right,
you
right.
just like to hang out at the place where smugglers
and
go.
I get that, but yeah. past how many pictures do you get to be... Like, look, I get it. One or two, and then you see that picture and you go, ooh, that's not going to look good later on.
Mm-hmm.
When you're at 5... Then it's just too many.
You sound like the fucking left. Guilt by association all over the place, and it's not good.
I'm just saying there's just too many of them.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
Look, on our first episode that we ever did, we learned that it was time to pray. Because Benjamin Netanyahu was the canary in the coal mine.
Was that what it was?
Red alert.
Jesus, 5 goddamn years later, and,
it's time to pray.
And we're still praying.
I have to tell you, it is still time to pray.
Yeah.
Roger, I know for real, because I've talked to you privately, and I see the tears in your eyes when we've been in person, when you're saying, pray with me, you start crying. You were always a Christian, but you got led astray. None of us are perfect. God forgive us all. You had a little bit of partying here and there, and none of it was wrong in God's eyes because you repented of it, like King David. But let's pray. We got a minute and a half left to break, but lead us in prayer for Congressman Matt Gaetz, please.
You've got to imagine Roger's like, you motherfucker.
You son of a bitch. How dare you?
You're backing me into
How
a corner asking
you?
Me to pray on
How
her.
How dare you? First off, you're telling this bullshit about me crying while prayer.
Mm.
Get the fuck out of here.
I think that's good for all their images, though. I think that's fine. That's the version of
totally.
The story that you would want, Alex.
No, he's the penitent man who is pardoned by your God King, naturally. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
And you go overboard with it, too.
Yes.
Rending his garments and beating his chest.
As is Alex's sort of style.
Yes.
But yeah, look, it's rude. To be like, will you lead us in prayer? On my dumb conspiracy theory show where we're saying that Matt Gaetz may have dated a 17-year-old years ago, but who knows? He doesn't remember his wild parties. Whatever.
I would be mad if you asked me to pray the day before, let alone 5 minutes.
On the spot.
Yeah. That's
so
brutal.
I was like, is Roger going to pray?
I want to hear it.
Mic down.
Okay.
Look, I'm not the most articulate, but I'll give it a try. Dear Lord, those the you who created both heaven and earth, you who stand for justice and hate injustice, please watch over Matt Gaetz in this struggle for his freedom. He is a good man. He is a godly man. He is an innocent man. He is a man of great promise. Do not let the left-wing hate machine that sought to destroy me, sought to destroy General Flynn, now destroy this great American patriot.
Amen. And by the way, that's another topic for you to come back. We're trying to get Flynn to run. We're begging him on our knees.
Okay. Weird.
All right.
Man, just go back to when like he was a young operative working with like Nixon.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, in 2021, you're going to be hanging out with Alex Jones and praying on air.
Yep.
He would have hit you with a 2x4 like you're a mule.
Yeah, he is a sad piece of shit.
This is wild. Just
this is bad.
Just like I don't understand why this isn't something that like would have more media coverage. Like this,
yeah.
This to me seems like so bizarre.
Yeah, but
Roger Stone prays on air.
I know, Roger Stone still has to be a big bad in the media. He can't. They can't just portray him as this sad. I mean, just. Real pathetic and nonsense, man.
And I think also too, as I say that out loud, I think I kind of realize that were you to cover something that way, you might run the risk of offending people who are Christian or religious. Like the idea, it's not mocking prayer.
No,
it's mocking the idea that one, it's Roger Stone.
Right.
Two, it's on Alex Jones's
right.
show. It's more that, and I think that tone might not be able to be properly conveyed. So that makes sense.
I mean, the right-wing machine would turn it into a massive deal, but I can't, like, if you are by any stretch an adherent to the intent of the Bible, I would argue that prayer is way more offensive to Christians than any article being like Roger Stone is an asshole.
Don't let them do what they did to me.
Yeah, that like not even God is above the left-right paradigm. Is that what
Apparently
we're doing?
Not. Well, he is.
Your God is pathetic and shitty. Alex's
God is above the left-right paradigm, and that means that he's super to the right.
He's super to the right, yeah.
So Alex, at the end there, was talking about how we want to draft Mike Flynn, General Flynn, to run for president. And you talk about this a little bit. Him and Roger are not quite on the same page.
Let's draft General Flynn to get going. What do you think, Roger?
Look, I think I've made it as clear as I can that if the president runs, I'm for the president. And he has the right to make that decision, and he has the luxury to make it in his own time. But if the president doesn't run, it's absolutely vital that we have a candidate, a man or a woman, who really understands and supports and completely is committed to.
Hold on, do five more minutes. Exactly. On Flynn, we need a stand-in. And I get you're being delicate here. We're not against Trump. If Trump isn't going to do it, we have to fire up Flynn. And we were firing up Gaetz behind the scenes. We have to have them ready in case Trump doesn't do it. We'll be right back.
Hey, Alex, you dumb fuck. Trump pardoned me. I have loyalty to him for life.
I'm going
to
say Trump.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
Look, forever.
We can have hypothetical conversations about anybody else, but you have to understand that I will always give a proviso that Trump is technically still president. Even if Gaetz were president, Trump should be.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But, I mean, it just becomes all too apparent there, the way that they're conversing, that, like, we're looking for a stand-in.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need somebody to get the dum-dums as excited as Trump did.
And it's not going to happen.
And Matt Gaetz is the kind of shithead who would wear a gas mask.
Right.
And then get COVID.
Right. But they just don't have any of it. Like, it's very abundantly clear now that nobody but Trump has the stuff that the, like, total attributes that are necessary to pull off a Trump campaign, you know? Like, Gaetz isn't going to be able to, because he doesn't have that image of being a successful billionaire. He's kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
He's an asshole.
Yeah.
And he can't pull off any kind of sexual impropriety scandal because he's too young and not enough people want to back him in order to run interference for him. So we're probably going to wind up with Trump is the Republican candidate, and it's going to be so sad and miserable for everybody so long as the media learns any lessons from 2016 and 2020.
Can't
so
imagine
I
that.
Imagine that we're going to have Trump in 2025. Yep. But it's okay, Dan, if the Democrats pull it together and govern effectively, there's no way that a right-wing...
Anyway.
Let's move on.
So Alex has, he lets Roger go. Mm-hmm. And, very confusing. Very, very, very confusing. I think I get generally what they're doing, but mm-hmm. it's still like, I can't imagine having any time to prepare and thinking like this is the defense that we're yeah. going to spend like half of the show on.
Yeah.
That is bizarre.
Have a better defense tomorrow.
Yeah.
That makes the most sense. Yeah. Be like, there's hey, no we know reason. These allegations are terrible and we're going to look into it and we'll have more info.
Roger's not available today. He'll be on tomorrow to talk about it.
Yep.
Roger could be asleep. Who knows? Who cares?
Yep.
It just seems
doesn't matter.
Really silly.
Take your time.
Alex has also built up this entire story about the everyone who stormed the Capitol is getting off scot-free.
Sure.
And the libs are really mad about it. So Stuart Rhodes is on. Along with his lawyer.
I was going to say, you better have a lawyer present.
I don't know if this lawyer is going to be helpful.
Stuart should have his lawyer next to him at all times.
This lawyer might need a lawyer.
Oh, boy.
As an ex-prosecutor, what do you think of the fiasco?
I actually is kind of how it's been since the beginning. I think thought that they were overreaching. They seem to have an agenda that they wanted everything to fit into, but the facts just don't support that. I don't know if it was something they had planned, because I believe that that event was funded somehow with Antifa. But I think they wanted patriots to act up more than what happened, and then they have continued to try to push a narrative that the facts don't fit into.
You were here over a month ago. That's what you said in the green room. You weren't on air. You said it looks staged. We're not sure yet. But
so Stuart Rhodes' lawyer that he brings along thinks Antifa paid to do something with the...
Yeah. I think the past few years have really taken a lot of shine off of the legal minds of our country.
This lawyer seems insane.
Yeah. I think most lawyers now are starting to sound a lot more and more insane.
Yeah. So yeah. Him and Stuart, Alex and Stuart and this lawyer, they just talk about how, like, everybody on the right is good.
Of course, yes. We're all angels over here, and everybody on the left drinks adrenochrome and so on.
It's kind of dumb, and it's not really all that interesting it doesn't bring much to us. But Stuart does have a prediction that we've got to put on the record so we can,
Okay, all right.
We're looking at the summer of rage.
They're speeding your timetable up. That's why it's important for us to understand what's coming. You should expect them to decouple the dollar from the world currency and kill the dollar this summer. And what you're going to have to do is become strong.
They
want us divided and weak. We got to unite and become strong. That means food and fuel and ammunition, the clean water, the ability to self-sustain so you can resist the compulsory taking of the vaccine in order to eat.
And I totally agree with you.
So, yeah, the dollar is going to be destroyed this summer. Look for that.
Everybody who believes that, take your stuff and just go into the woods, create a splinter society, and leave the rest of us alone.
Or, if you believe that, take the dollar that still has some value.
Okay.
Pay your internet bill.
Sure.
Download an episode of Alex Jones from last year saying that this year would be the summer of rage.
That might be too expensive.
And then download a couple of years back when he did it. And every year.
No, 5G is how they get you.
Now I'll go back to like years and years in the past and say tomorrow they're going to devalue the dollar while he's conveniently selling gold.
It helps. It helps to sell gold.
It's outrageous. I mean, we'll see. Oh, no. This summer.
Oh, man. I'm really worried. Yeah. I'm really worried.
So Stuart's whole big thing is that the government is going to starve everybody. That's his new thing that he's pushing pretty hard.
It's going to be tough to win votes on a platform of starve everyone, but we'll see how they pull it off, Dan.
Counterpoint.
Yep.
Here's a great electoral strategy.
Okay.
Hey, do you miss food? Here is food. Yeah.
I will vote for food, sir.
I think that's what Stuart is trying to get trigger in people's minds.
Yeah.
Anyway, we come to the end of this, and it's weird because I think obviously I'm more interested in non-present day Alex Jones. He's a very dumb, uninteresting person. But this defense of Gates really did interest me in as much as like I hate Matt Gaetz,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not interested in piling on him
sure.
until we know more.
Naturally.
Alex, His defense makes me suspicious.
It really makes me think that Alex knows something that we don't know.
And it's bad.
And it's real bad.
That's what it makes me think.
It's now, hard to get any other impression.
Obviously, we don't know that. Now, sure. It could just be, you know, knee-jerk, protect your own
right
kind of thing. And you know, maybe there's something.
And I would say that if this is his knee-jerk reaction, that's probably just as illuminating as if he does know something that we don't know, because his knee-jerk reaction is like, come on, sexual assault's fine. You know, like, it's kind of on
for,
that, but
for
yeah.
weirdo conservatives.
Exactly.
Yes.
It is that basic kind of feel to it. So if that's your knee-jerk reaction, I think we know how you're going to react to just about everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't, it was not an enjoyable bit of time to listen to this show. It's confusing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. We'll check back in. We'll see how things are going.
Of course.
And, until then. We have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledgefight. Go to bed, Jordan.
Yep. We're on Facebook.
We are on Facebook and download iTunes. And if you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out people doing God's work right
yep.
now.
We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundis.
So what do you think about them apples?
Andy in Kansas. You're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.